on the Castle Church door in Wittenberg, Germany, October 31st, 1517. But today is much, much more than a glimpse at the past or a history lesson. We celebrate the truth of God's Word, the truth of forgiveness, the truth of Jesus for us, and the freedom that comes in and through the holy, precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 656, Luther's great opus, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Please stand as the cross enters into the church. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. One note for our first communion hymn, Thy Strong Word, the choir will be singing verses 2 and 4. Verses 2 and 4. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and to hear the truth of your word. Heavenly Father, we oftentimes deny the truth of our sin. And when we deny the truth of our sin, we put in doubt the truth of your gift of salvation. Heavenly Father, open our ears and our hearts to the truth that sets us free. Jesus, for us and for our salvation. May that be our rallying cry today and tomorrow and for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 656.
Thank you. page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for that, and sincerely repent of it, and I pray you with my countless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to our bulletin insert. We'll sing together the introit.
Thank you.
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
To those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak now the graduate appointed for today.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you might tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now we confess our one faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 655, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago, especially these words from John 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, October 31, 1517, Luther nails the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg. And for 501 years, Protestants all over the world, especially Lutherans, have been commemorating this event in some way, shape, or form. People look at us, and sometimes they get the impression that we worship Martin Luther instead of Jesus. Shame on us. We are not about hero worship in any way, shape, or form, as if somehow the man, Luther, was inspired and inerrant and infallible. If that's what you're looking for today, you've come to the wrong place. For 501 years, this day, in many respects, has become a great day and time to remember and study and commemorate the history that surrounds the Reformation. That's a good thing. You cannot understand politics or sociology or economics in any way, shape, or form unless you have some basic grasp of what happened at the time of the Reformation. But if that's what you've come here for today, again, you're wasting your time. You've come to the wrong place. Go take a college credit course. When we come to church, a true Lutheran church, we come to hear the truth. That's what today and every day is about. As we gather in God's house and God the Holy Spirit through a bumbling, fallible preacher proclaims to you the truth. What is truth? That question's been around for a while, hasn't it? We take a look at our landscape. We're getting pretty close to an election, don't you know? Get all those postcards in the mail. You hear the ads on the radio and on the TV. What do you believe? Who do you believe? What is truth? Just this week, mail bombs being sent all over the world. Is it some Russian conspiracy? Are people mailing bombs to themselves? Is this some lunatic encouraged by our president? What's the truth? How do you know? It was just a few weeks ago, we watched our nation and the spectacle in Washington where he had his truth and she had her truth and the politicians had another truth. And what is truth? What is truth? My friends, in the political world, in the political realm, you will always have this unanswered question. What is truth? That's the way of the world. That's the way of politics. That's the way of sinful mankind. Don't you dare think that that same political questioning enters in to God's house. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He asked Jesus what is truth when Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, stood right before him. The politician could not understand that there was such a thing as theological, God-given truth. And that God-given truth is Jesus. The context for our words here, famous words that we hear every time we celebrate the Reformation or every time we want to justify something that we want to do when we know it's maybe against the rules. Well, Jesus set me free. If you know the truth, If you hold to my teaching, the truth will set you free. We know these words. But the context of these words is what truly sets them apart. John chapter 8, an amazing chapter. Please take some time, not right now, take some time and read this chapter and see these words right smack dab in the middle of this chapter. At the beginning of chapter 8, we have the woman caught in the act of adultery. She's caught. She's drug out into the public square. People pick up stones to kill her. Remember what Jesus says? Oh, yeah. You who are without sin, throw the first stone. And one by one, they dropped their stones and went home. Then Jesus did the unthinkable. He forgave the woman her sin. Who does this Jesus think he is? God? Who does this Jesus think he is? A man to forgive sins? The controversy surrounding Jesus in the entire Gospel of John, and especially here in John chapter 8, revolves around the forgiveness of sins. It should not surprise you that the entire controversy at the time of the Reformation surrounded the forgiveness of sins. If we are honest with ourselves, every problem that goes on in the church today surrounds itself and concerns itself at its heart, core, and soul with the forgiveness of sins. I think that should teach us something, right? We best get the forgiveness of sins right before we move on to anyone else. In John chapter 8, the people, the high and mighty, they were ready to stone the woman caught in adultery. They were quick to point out her sin. But they wanted to hear nothing about their own sin. They could not see the sin in their own lives. These men who were ready to commit murder could justify their sin because the woman caught in adultery was a sinner. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Jesus goes on in John chapter 8, that famous I am statement. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. He goes on to explain what it means to have the light of Jesus, the light of life, dwelling in them, on them, and around them. Verse 21, he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. This entire chapter is about Jesus' great love for sinners. He does not want anyone to die in their sin. That is why Jesus came, and he is explaining to them how the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life is going to bring this about. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, verse 28, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father had taught me. When I am lifted up, you will know that I am he. When I am lifted up, you will know that I have authority. When God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, is lifted up on the altar of the cross, offering himself as the ransom and the payment for the sin of the world, then you will know that Jesus is the one, the Savior of the world, your Savior. Verse 30, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. The power of the Word of God to create faith that apprehends the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The people heard the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. And Jesus goes on and says, you know, it's not enough that you believe in me right now. That's good. But you need to continue to believe in me until the day you die. Because unless you die in Christ Jesus, unless you die with faith, unless you die believing that the Son of Man and Son of God, Jesus' blood, covers over your sin, as Jesus says, you will die in your sin. This is the context of Jesus' words here in John 8. He wants them to continue in his word. He wants them to continue in the faith. He says to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If only Jesus had not said that last line. The people then didn't want to hear it. The people now don't want to hear it. Set me free. Set me free from what? Who do you think you are? I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave to anybody. I've never been a slave. I am free. I can do whatever I want. Who do you think you are, Jesus? The people who had believed on Jesus were thinking politically. You can't know the truth. Jesus, you're crazy. We have no idea what these people were thinking when they told Jesus, we've never been slaves of anyone. A quick history lesson would tell you that they had been slaves on and off for about the last 500 years. And at the present time, they were paying tribute and taxes to Caesar. They weren't free, not politically. But they said they were. They thought they were. They had their own truth. You have your truth, Jesus. I'll have mine. We have no idea what these people were thinking when they made this claim, but we know exactly what Jesus was thinking. Jesus' words are crystal clear. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Do we need a show of hands? Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Everyone. That's you. That's me. That's everyone who ever has lived and everyone who ever will live. It's everyone who is alive right now. Perhaps you have noticed everyone, or almost everyone, will freely admit that sin exists in the world. Pretty universal. And at the same time, personally, just about everyone I know, including me, is very, very eager to deny personal sin. Sin in general? Oh, yeah. My sin? Back off. Who do you think you are? Get out of my life. Get out of my bedroom. Get out of my politics. My friends, Jesus' words are very clear. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's all of us. We can deny it. We can pretend that it doesn't exist, but that doesn't change the truth that we are slaves to sin. We can hide behind psychology or sociology. We can say, I was born that way. Well, and you are, original sin. You can blame your parents or your childhood or your economics or Western civilization or your third grade teacher. It doesn't matter. Hide behind whatever you want. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus is teaching us that if we don't take sin serious, if we don't treat sin serious, it's impossible to get salvation right. It's impossible to treat salvation serious. We do everything we can to take the sting and the poison out of sin. And yet we know when the consequences of our own sin, or the ultimate consequence of sin, death, bites us, that sin is real and that sin stings. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin is the law. The power of the law affects us all. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The truth does not stop with our sin. The truth continues and is swallowed up with the ultimate truth of our sin bearer. Every word of Scripture points to Jesus as the bearer of sin. All sin, yes. Your sin, absolutely. The God-man Jesus, born of the Virgin, born to die, born to carry the world's sin onto himself and into himself, bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross, rising from the dead, never to die again, adopting you into his family through the waters of holy baptism, robing you with the robe of righteousness, feeding you with his body and blood, sustaining you for the journey. This is the truth. God's love never ends. God's love sent Jesus to die for you. God's love wants you to be in the truth and to live in this freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. My friends, there is no other gospel than Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the life of the world. There is no other hope than the hope that is in the blood of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you. There is no other salvation. Even if an angel from heaven should come down and give you another gospel, it's a lie. There is no other salvation than Jesus Christ for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that? To stand on that truth and to say, I know and believe that truth, means you are a bigot. You are intolerant. You are every evil thing under the world. How can you be so unloving as to say people who are without Jesus are going to hell? My friends, if we believe what Jesus teaches us, then we would not be so apathetic with regard to God's house, God's worship, God's word. We would not be so apathetic and shallow with regard to how we spend our time and how we encourage our children in the faith. We would not be so shallow and apathetic with regard to our mission efforts to take this saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the world. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one, absolutely no one, comes to the Father except through Him. This is the truth. This is the truth of the Reformation? Well, of course. This is the truth of God's Word, every jot and tittle. This is God's truth for you, and this is God's truth for all eternity. And it is this truth that sets you free. Sets you free to love God, to be at peace, no matter how great your sin. This is the truth that sets you free to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the freedom that Jesus Christ earned for you. My friends, the Son has set you free. You are free indeed. That's the truth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our freedom in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The truth is, we can't believe this gospel unless the Holy Spirit creates in us a new heart. We stand and sing our offertory, page 192.
Amen.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the truth and freedom that comes through the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
With the prayer of the church, please stand. In addition to those prayer requests listed in the bulletin, we have two additional ones. We pray for Wayne W. Anderson, a friend of Good Shepherd, dealing with cancer. We also pray for the family of Melissa Macklin, whose grandmother Clara has passed away. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, hear today our prayers for your whole church. Deliver her from every error that would cloud the joy of your salvation. Preserve in her the proclamation of the eternal gospel. Make it resound to every nation and tribe, people and language, that its mighty power might bring all to fear you and give you the glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, hear today our prayers for all ministers of the word. Help them to proclaim your law in such a way that every excuse is stripped from the mouths of their hearers and that all are held accountable to God. Help them to proclaim your gospel that they may know Jesus Christ as their sole righteousness before you, the sacrifice that sets us free from sin, that by his blood we might be received by faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, hear today our prayer for all who bear civic authority in our land. Bless our president, our congressmen and women, our justices and magistrates, and all of those who serve in various offices. Protect them from the temptations that beset their offices, and impart to them wisdom and courage, Lord, in your mercy. Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, hear today our prayers for all who know the bondage of sin and yet still imagine themselves free. Open their eyes by the words of Jesus and grant them the true freedom of sonship and a permanent place in your household through him. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, hear today our prayers for all who cry to you for healing in body or mind, heart or soul. Be especially with those in our own midst, including Katie, Al, Willis, Joyce, Lyle, Cindy, Lori, Kim, Donna, Ron, Shirley, Pastor Arlen Russert, Greg, Sherry, Caitlin, Carol, Marge, Vernita, Jared, Winfred, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon each one. In your own time and way, grant them release from their afflictions. Sustain their confidence and hope in the full and final healing that awaits the day of the Lord's appearing and the resurrection of the body. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, be with all of those who mourn the loss of loved ones, including the family of Mary Spatz, the family of Adeline Poppy, and the family of Clara, grandmother of Melissa Macklin. Grant them peace and comfort in your holy word and in Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, that they might trust in the resurrection of the dead yet to come. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty fortress, rock of refuge, hear our prayer for all those who come to the altar to partake of Christ's own body and blood in the forgiveness of their sins, the propitiation which you provide for us in his blood. Grant them the gifts of repentance and faith, and by the power of your Spirit, the intention to amend their lives and align them with your will and purpose. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
It's time to continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is he and right and so
It is truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of heaven and earth.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Amen.
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and sets us free. Kids, you can go get some goodies back in here in about 5 to 7 minutes for our Sunday school opening. Speaking of Sunday school opening and such, we are getting closer and closer to our Christmas program, believe it or not. And All the kids should have by now gotten a schedule with Christmas program practices and a little pledge sheet from mom and dad that say we're going to try really, really hard to get them here for practice and to make that commitment. If you haven't, check with your Sunday school teacher. We need to have an idea who's going to be here. And it really makes it tough if everybody just kind of shows up at the last minute and doesn't come to the practices. So if you can help us out here, these have been going home in Sunday school, midweek class, confirmation class, and Christmas program this year will be the last Wednesday that we would normally have our Advent worship services, the last Wednesday before Christmas. Trying something different this year. School, preschool, Sunday school, all together that Wednesday night, and we pray God's blessings on that. Coffee and goodies for everybody. You're all invited. Two opportunities for Bible study. We'll continue our look at the book of Romans in the fellowship hall. Summary of Christian doctrine in room 109. Pastor Moline, what are we studying today?
We're continuing to talk about who God is and how we know who he is.
Okay, so we should read the tea leaves or our horoscope?
The Athanasian Creed memorized and... No, just teasing. We're going to learn the Trinity and things like that without any of the stuff that Pastor Poppy uses.
Yes, the word. That's what you'll get. Check out the news and notes, all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We have a special gathering for longtime member here at Good Shepherd, Ken Knaus, retirement open house this afternoon. You're all invited. Ken, you want to wave your hand? All right, very good. Ken is one of those rare folks around here that dates back to pre-Poppy. So that is rare. We have some new little booklets in the pews, a simple explanation of the worship service. That's for your personal edification. If you want to take it home and use it for family devotions, drop it on the floor, share with a friend, whatever. We expect them to walk away, and we'll replace them as they come. Nice little booklet. Do we know anything more about what you need tomorrow and Tuesday?
Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, we're closing on a house. And so Tuesday, if you're willing to help, let me know. Throughout the day, we'll be trying to make a couple trips back and forth to get our things moved from the duplex here to our new house. If you want to help, let me know, and we won't turn you down. Also, back on the information center, having to do with the upcoming project of putting together a church directory, we have a list of all the addresses that we think we know. If you would find your address on that list and your phone number, and if anything's wrong, correct it for us. That way, when we get to the pictures and the directory part, we'll have that correct in our new directory. It should be on the information center somewhere. Take a look for that.
And last but not least, there's a sign-up sheet out there to help with our Thanksgiving meal. The Thursday before Thanksgiving, we always have a Thanksgiving meal and welcome and honor the older folks in the congregation. Takes a lot of people and a lot of effort to pull this off. So if you can help out in any way, shape, or form, transportation, cooking, buying some food, any of that kind of stuff, sign up sheet on the table out there as well. I think that's all. Coffee and goodies, Bible study, rejoice. Jesus has set you free, and that's the truth. Amen.